Creative Babble.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Like my friend Brian Earle of the Christmas Past podcast always says, this podcast discusses Santa Claus, but not in the ways that younger listeners can appreciate. So if you have little ones in the room, you might want to listen to this one with headphones. Question: do you know what a douchebag sounds like? It sounds a lot like this guy who is walking in a mall and is about to tell the children waiting in line to meet Santa that he's not real.
Last Frontier Evangelism, and today we're at the mall in Amarillo, Texas, and we're going to tell the children here today the truth that there is no Santa Claus and that it's Christmas is about Jesus Christ. So here we go. We're going to tell them the truth. Folks, my name is Pastor David. Kids, I wanted to tell you today that there is no such thing as Santa Claus. Santa Claus does not exist. The Christmas season is about Jesus, and that's the truth about Christmas. The man you're going to see today is just a man in a suit dressed up like Santa, but Santa does not exist. Santa's not real. And parents, y'all need to stop lying to your children and telling them that Santa Claus is real when in fact he's not.
By this point, the parents waiting in line have had enough of this guy.
That's all the truth. And there is no real Santa Claus. There is no Santa. It is not your place to lie to your children. Tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. Tell them the truth about what Christmas is all about. Sir, don't put your hands on me.
Go on. Quit talking this mess. You understand me?
Keep your hands to yourself.
I got my kids over there. We don't need you coming over here blabbing whatever the hell you're blabbing.
There is no Santa, and Christmas is about Jesus.
But and the parents are all right with that.
The parents are all right with lying to their kids.
Yeah. Not your decision to make.
That's a sin. It's a sin in the eyes of God.
Kids,
there is no Santa. Santa's not real. Your parents are lying to you. Don't believe it.
There is a Santa.
Y'all have a nice day.
Now, I know this guy is a Scrooge, but does he have a point? Is it right to lie to our kids, even if it's for the holiday spirit? Christmas. It's the one time a year where all parents get a shot at being manipulative and con artists. But like all great cons, the truth is bound to come out. So how do you do it? How do you tell your children the truth about Santa and that you've been lying to them for all these years? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode. I asked my listeners to submit stories about their Santa experiences. Also, we have a pretty incredible true crime story about Santa. No joke, it's the story based on the real St. Nicholas. So let's get this show going. I'm Javier Leyva, and this is Pretend. Stories about parents pretending to be Santa.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
When your first child is born, you have a choice to make. To lie or not to lie about Santa. It's something a lot of new parents don't think about until they have to make that decision. But one listener and fellow podcaster, Rachel from the All Bad Things podcast, has an interesting take on this dilemma.
Hi, this is Rachel. So when I was growing up, my parents told my sister and me pretty much from day one that there was no Santa. They wanted to be honest with us. And I still remember my grandmother didn't love that so much and would, like, when she gave us presents, would write from Santa and we'd sort of roll our eyes like, yeah, grandma. Honestly, you know, I wouldn't say that growing up without Santa, it does not feel like it was traumatizing or that I missed out on some like magic of Christmas or something like that. But I will say the secret part was a little weird. There's an odd burden to like not be able to say something that you know to be true to your peers. And it, more than that, to be explicitly like keeping that a secret. Like you're in on a grown-up secret at a young age. And that felt like a little bit of a burden. Oh, and ironically, recently my mom has started very coyly asking me and my sister what we'd like Santa to bring us for Christmas. And we're like, Mom, you told us when we were 4 that there was no Santa. So why are you trying to convince us that there is one now that we're almost 40?
But other listeners refuse to know the truth. Like this one listener, Gabriella, who grew up in Jamaica.
So I don't remember when I found out that Santa was pretend, but I do remember some adventures from past Christmases. I grew up in Jamaica. Now every Christmas season, my parents would put up a cardboard fireplace. It didn't have a chimney. It did have a cardboard fire. Now you may ask yourself, how was Santa supposed to come down a non-existent chimney into a fireplace that has pretend fire in the middle of the Caribbean? We never questioned it, but we believed that that was what he did. So now one year during the Christmas season, while playing hide and seek with my sibling, I hid underneath my parents' bed. And under there, I saw lots and lots of boxes wrapped in Christmas paper. I believed that the reason why those presents were there was because Santa couldn't carry them all, and he needed my parents' help to put the toys under the tree. To this day, I have no memory of finding out that Santa wasn't real, but I still remember how naive I was believing these things that my parents did to pretend that Santa was real.
But then there are kids who will do anything to keep the spirit alive. This next listener-submitted story comes from the UK. Sue Polly says that her son found out the truth about Father Christmas, and he was shattered. He wanted to forget the truth and continue believing. But how do you put that genie back in the bottle? I'll let Sue tell the rest of the story.
I know very, very little about your story. So why don't we start from the beginning, really?
So my son was about 9, and his teacher at school one day had announced to the whole class that there was no such thing as Father Christmas, which, you know, I know what it's like for you, but here, that's pretty shocking. And he was devastated. He came home and was really upset for a couple of days. And then he came up to me one day and said, Matt, do you know I hit the therapist or a hypnotist? And I did. So I said to him, yeah, I do know somebody. And he said, I'd like to speak to them to get them to hypnotize me so that I can believe in Father Christmas again, because I am very upset about it. So I contacted Sharon and she said, wow, I've never been asked to do anything quite that exciting before. Happy to give it a try. So we went to Sharon because he was so young, she asked me to sit in. I didn't really understand what was going on, but I listened and it sounded okay. We left. And from then on, for the next 3 years, no matter what anybody said to him, he believed that there was Father Christmas. So you could have said to him, you know, I've got proof here that there is no Father Christmas. And he would listen to what he said and it wouldn't make any of you him at all. And he was very, very happy. And then about, when he was about 11, 12, one day it was just obvious he didn't believe in Father Christmas anymore. It was never mentioned. I don't know what happened in his head, but something obviously stopped because he didn't need to believe in Father Christmas anymore, and he never did. And he's never referred to it since. He just loved everything. He still loves everything Christmas. Christmas is a very special time for him, and it clearly was very, very important to him. The fact that a 9-year-old had the presence of mind to ask me whether I knew someone who could hypnotize him is quite remarkable.
So do you think it was really the hypnosis that worked, or do you think that it was the Christmas spirit that he really wanted to believe?
No, it was absolutely the hypnosis. He went into Sharon's room in one state and he came out in another state, and I have no doubt that it was the hypnosis. At that point, I'd never had hypnosis for anything. I had no experience of it, but I have got no doubt that it was the hypnosis. It was utterly remarkable.
That's such a great story.
That's pretty good.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the real Santa Claus. Yes, the real St. Nicholas. And you'll never believe the grisly story that got him sainthood. Let's just say that if this story took place today, you might see it on Dateline. That's after the break.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
Our last listener submitted story comes from Alana.
Hi, happy year. My name is Alana. So what I remember is that our mother kind of pulling us aside one day and saying, do you know the truth about Santa Claus? And we said, no. And she said, well, Santa Claus isn't real. I'm the one who's been doing all of that work. And while we were processing this shock and sadness, Santa Claus may not be real, but there was a real St. Nicholas. And you should learn the, you know, historical background. And she gave us a book. What I remember most clearly is the images accompanying the story were quite disturbing and alarming. What I remember from the story is that the real man rescued and saved children from being pickled in barrels. And I distinctly remember children's body parts sticking out of a wooden barrel. I guess that was something that happened to children back then. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But because of his love for saving children's lives or something, apparently that was how he was sainted. And we got the 1-2 punch of not only learning that Santa Claus was not real, but that children apparently can be cut into pieces and pickled in barrels. It was quite an awakening for us.
Is it true? Did the real St. Nicholas really save dismembered children stuffed in a pickling jar? There's only one way to find out. So I called my friend Brian Earle, who is the host of the Christmas Past podcast. And Brian knows everything there is to know about Christmas. But before we get into the pickling children's story, I wanted to ask Brian how he learned the truth about Santa. So what's your take on this folklore that we've created as a society? What was it like for you as a child? How long did you believe in Santa? Do you still believe in Santa?
I remember roughly, and I actually did an episode about this on Christmas Past. As I recall it, it was more of a chipping away process. One year, it's like, oh, Santa seems to use the same wrapping paper that my mom and dad do, or Santa's handwriting on our gifts looks awfully familiar. So you start to hear little whispers or things that kind of cast some doubt. And then eventually, one day, you just sort of realize. So there was no grand reveal. There was no traumatic shock where someone told me and then I had to confront my parents or they sat me down and told me. Just very, very gradually.
One listener said that their parents told them from day one, you know, Santa's not real. You can't tell your friends. They had a very honest relationship because I guess the feeling was that they didn't want to lie to their children. How do you feel about that?
I really don't think that you're pulling a con on your children. You're creating a magical environment. And part of that magic is this story. I suppose it's not incorrect to say that it's a lie and a deception, but I think that's one way of looking at it that doesn't quite fit in with the spirit of the season.
I kind of miss believing. My kids are at that age where I have to, you know, either make a decision of telling them or just continue playing along until they put the pieces together. But I've recorded this because it happens frequently throughout the year. It's not just Christmas. It's the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy. There's this questioning that comes right after. The Tooth Fairy forgets the tooth. I get questioned for that. For Easter, I remember one dinner conversation where my kids were like, well, you know, Lauren across the street saw you hiding eggs in the yard. And, you know, like I keep getting questioned and the elf on the shelf, oh my God, you know, sometimes I forget to move him and I come up with all these explanations for it. So it seems to me like I'm hesitant to have that conversation because it seems to me like they still want to believe, even though they're questioning me.
Yeah, I think that's something, it becomes a rite of passage because every child will eventually realize the truth and will eventually have that story of how they came to realize the truth.
But what about the story of the pickled children? It turns out they were more like young adults. Let's talk about the origins. This was the story was part of episode one of Christmas Past, right? The story about Santa Claus and the pickled children. Well, I had listened to all your episodes, but I had forgotten the story.
Yeah, and the first thing to know is that when we're talking about Santa Claus, we're talking about a real guy, St. Nicholas of Myra from the 4th century, the 300s in what is now Turkey. And he was a bishop. And after he died, his legend really grew. And this was common of other religious figures of the time, where there'd be stories of miracles and things like that. And eventually we get to the point where he's a fat guy in a sleigh flying around. But before that, the kind of magic he would spread had to do with things like resurrections or multiplying grain stalks or in things like that. But those are the kinds of legends that grow out of the things that we do know for sure about St. Nicholas. And that's very little, as a matter of fact. We do know he really was a rich kid. His parents died when he was very young from the plague and left him a lot of money. And he was very generous. He liked to give that money to other people to help them out. After his death, however, there's all kinds of, you know, he became the patron saint of seafarers. And it was common to a figure of St. Nicholas on ships because he would protect the sailors. But there's also stories of, again, like resurrections, resurrecting drowned sailors. And then in this one particularly gruesome story, these three young men were traveling. And this is where, depending on the telling, there's all kinds of different versions that they stopped at either an inn or a butcher shop or whatever it was, who would have access to a place to hide a dead body, more or less. And so the story goes that whoever this person was stole the money that these three people were carrying and then killed them. And so that's the baseline for that story. No matter which version you hear at least that much. And in the most gruesome versions of the story, he actually then dismembered the three bodies of these people that he murdered and put them into either a pickling jar, a pickling tub, or a salt tub, the kind of thing that you'd cure meat with. You put meat in and then cover it with salt. We don't really know what the plan was after that, what he was going to do with those three dead bodies. But before he could execute that plan, St. Nicholas arrived at the inn or the butcher shop. And the details here are murky, but somehow St. Nicholas came to know what had happened. And the butcher or the innkeeper then repented. Now, in one of the probably most extreme versions of the story, after all this happened, St. Nicholas was then able to remember the three dead bodies and bring all three of them back to life, return their money to them, and send them on their merry way.
And in classic Santa fashion, right? He saved the day. I like the phrasing, remembered. That's kind of cool.
Well, remember, the word literally means to put back together. So that's why your memories are reconstructions of the past.
I know, but to think about it in this context, it's crazy. Well, that's such a fascinating story. It seems to me like Santa Claus, the real Santa Claus, provided people with a lot of happiness and joy. I mean, that's what we're celebrating at the end of the day. And mm-hmm. So when we think that we're lying to our kids, in a way, we're not. We're just keeping that memory of the real St. Nicholas going for generations, right? We're passing it on to our children.
And in a lot of ways, you're trying to reboot your own childhood. And this is something that I'm experiencing now that I'm a dad to a young kid. He's still a little too young to understand quite what's going on. But as I introduce all these traditions to him, they're triggering my memories of those traditions and honoring the traditions that were passed down to me and so on. And so you're basically continuing this generations-old narrative. And that's one of the interesting things about the evolution of Santa Claus, how he went from a real person to a guy flying in a magic sleigh, is because we keep telling the story from generation to generation. And as culture changes and as the legend moves around the world, those things get added. I spoke to an historian named Bruce David Forbes. And the analogy he gives is that Christmas is like a snowball, meaning as you roll a snowball, not only does it grow, but it picks up all the pieces of whatever is in its path. And I think the Santa Claus legend is very much like that. You've never known a world without Santa that you grew up with. But that's just the latest version of him. This story is not done yet. He's going to continue to evolve. And 5 generations, 10 generations down the line, he's going to look very different from the one that we know today. As hard to believe as that is, because it feels like he's pretty standardized and has reached his final form. But that's not true. And it's never been true.
Well, Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show. Everyone, if you haven't already listened to the Christmas Past podcast, go ahead and check it out. It comes out every year, and every year is just magical. Brian and I partnered up on an episode not too long ago on my show. He's fantastic. It's called Christmas Past. Listen to it throughout the season. You won't regret it. Well, hey, thanks a lot, and Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you and your family. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Take care. All right, everyone. That is it. That's the last story for 2021. If you celebrate, I hope you guys have a fantastic Christmas and happy holidays to everyone. And please be safe out there. We're navigating some scary times, but wear a mask, get a vaccine, keep your distance, do anything and everything you have to do to protect you, your family, and those around you. I will talk to you next year. The first episode out of the gate will be the interview with a former KGB agent, and you don't want to miss that one. That one's going to be great. All right, Happy New Year, and I'll talk to you in 2022.
Creative Babble.